to begin is, why don't we, just with our neighbor, just take 30 seconds to pray. And if you don't know how to pray at the beginning of a conference, you could just pray a little simple prayer. Lord, this weekend, I open my heart to you. Okay, so why don't you just with 30 seconds with your neighbor, pray a prayer. Jesus. Lord Jesus, we do love you. Amen. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us. Amen. And that you are our God who comes to seek us. Amen. Who comes to find us. Amen. Lord, this weekend we are not going to hide from you. Amen. This weekend we turn our hearts to you. Amen. That we would find you and you would find us. Amen. And Lord, we tell you, we love you. Amen. Well, here we are. We are at the sixth grade conference. How many of you have been looking forward to the sixth grade conference forever? Well, you've arrived. Here you are. You're at the sixth grade conference. And it's the beginning of your years as a young person in the church. And this is the beginning of many, many conferences that you'll go to in the mountains. It's wonderful that we could get away. That's why we have these conferences. It's so we could get away from all the things that we do, all the things that may distract us and keep us busy, so we could just be here to spend time with God. Because this weekend, God wants to come and visit. That's right. This weekend, God wants to come and visit with us. This is what is going to make the mountain retreat or this conference so enjoyable. It's not that we're in the mountains. It's not that they have an awesome foosball table here. It's not how good the food is in the cafeteria. What will make this an awesome time is that God will come. The Lord Jesus will come to meet with each one of us. And what we want to do is we want to be here with a heart that is turned to the Lord. A heart that is seeking after the Lord. So because this is your first conference, I'd like to tell you a couple of things about what you should be doing during the meeting time. Okay? Now, of course, during the meeting time, you shouldn't be sleeping, right? You should be awake. And during the meeting time, you shouldn't be talking, right? I think you know that. And also, during the meeting time, you should have your book. Did you get your book? Yeah. You need your book. You need to bring your book. So when you come to the meetings, bring your Bible, bring your hymnal, and bring this book. Because in this book are the outlines and the verses that we're going to cover this weekend. Then, you also need a pen or a pencil, okay? So what you do during the meeting is you'll be listening, and as you're listening, something may touch your heart, something may sound interesting, you can just write that down. Or if it's a verse that we read or something from the outline that we read, you can circle it with your pen. This is very helpful so that you can remember all the little things that you enjoyed during the meetings. And what will happen, not tonight, but tomorrow, we will give you an opportunity to speak the things that you enjoyed. And if you're like me, sometimes you can't remember what you enjoyed. You remember you enjoyed something, but you can't remember what that thing is. So I'm so happy that I took notes in the meeting, wrote something down, or circled something, or underlined something to remind me, oh, that was it. That's what I enjoyed. So this weekend, I hope here you have lots of underlining, circling, a lot of notes, not too many pictures, right? But that you would do this so that you would remember what are the things that you were touched with and that you enjoyed this weekend. Okay, so do you have your book out? Do you have your pen ready? Okay, we are going to cover message one tonight. And what I'd like us to do, I'd like us to read the title to message one. Are you ready? Where are you hiding from God? Okay, let's have this side of the room read the title. Okay, let's have this side of the room read the title.
Where are you hiding from God?
Very good. Okay, let's have this side of the room ask the question, where are you? And this side of the room can give the answer. Okay, go.
Where are you hiding from God?
Well, maybe you read that and you might say, no, I'm not. I'm not hiding from God. Well, just wait. Just wait. We'll go through this together, and you will see that within us there is a hiding from God, a hiding of something from God. But we do not want anyone to hide from God. Okay, now let's read the verse, Genesis 3:9. We'll read it together. And Jehovah God called to the man and said to him, where are you? So the where are you comes from a verse in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. There God came and he was looking for man who he had created. Man was not there, and God called out, where are you? Where are you? Well, it would be good if we could take a look at that story in Genesis to see why was man hiding from God. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 1 together. God made us for himself. Oh, this is a wonderful point. When we go back to the beginning. You know, the book of Genesis, it means the beginning. When we go back to the beginning and we read about God's creation, it shows us why God made us. And we need to realize this truth is God made us for himself. First of all, I'd like to remind you, God made us. I know at school you have science class, and if they haven't taught you yet in science, soon they're going to teach you that God didn't make you, but they're going to try and teach you that you evolved. Well, the truth is you did not evolve, but God made you. Who made us? God. Sixth graders, who made us? God. And God made us for himself. Who were you made for? God. That's right. That's the truth. The truth is, God made you, and when God made you, he made you for himself. So I see some sixth graders sitting here. What's your name? Joshua, he's in fifth grade. Okay, that's okay. Joshua, let me ask you, who made you? God. Okay, and who's, Alan, who were you made for? God, that's right. See, they're listening. Very good. Very good. So I'd like us to read a verse from the Bible. It's there in your book, Isaiah 43:21. Let's read this together. This people have I formed for myself. They will show forth my praise. Here, God tells us, this people have I. That I is referring to God. God formed us. That means God made us for himself. Okay, now I'd like you to go down to the capital A and B, and we'll read these points together. Let's read A together. We were made in the image of God, according to his likeness, after God's kind. Oh, this is a wonderful point. And for this point, we need to read Genesis 1:26-27. Let's read those verses together. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven,
and over the cattle, and over all the earth,
every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Female. That's right. This is wonderful. When we read the account of creation, we see that in God's eyes, man is special. When God created all the other things that he created, he simply spoke them into being. Why? Because he's God. He can do that. He can speak, and something that doesn't exist can be brought into being. But when it came to us, God did not speak us into being. God came and he took some dust of the ground. And the Bible tells us that he worked that dust. He formed that dust into man. This shows us how close man is to God's heart, that he wouldn't just speak us into being, but he would take the dust and he would form it. He would shape it. And in these verses that we read, it says he formed us, he shaped us according to his image and his likeness. So are you in the image and likeness of a monkey? No! That's why I can tell you, we did not evolve from a monkey. Because the Bible tells us we were formed, we were shaped according to God's image, and that we have God's likeness. So let me ask you, who do we look like? God! That's right. We have to understand that when it says we were made in his image, according to his likeness, that means we were made to look like him. And there's a reason. There's a reason why God made us this way. And I'd like to show you why. I brought my bag up because in my bag, I have my glove. Let me ask you. Right away, when you look at this glove, it's in the image and likeness of which part of my body? My hand. Are you sure? Is there any doubt? No doubt, right? That this glove is in the image and likeness of my hand. Okay, you seem very smart. Let me ask you another question. What goes in this glove? My hand. Anything else? Well, my left hand, true. Nothing else goes in this glove. It is made in the image and likeness of my hand, so that my hand can easily go in to the glove. This shows us why God would make us in His image and His likeness. Because God wants to come into us. God wants to live in us. This is the wonderful story in the Bible. I also have another example for you. I enjoy this example. Let me ask you, what is this? This is a Coke bottle. What was this Coke bottle made to contain? It was made to contain Coke. That was it. What is the purpose of this container? To be filled with Coke. Coca-Cola, yes. When we were made in God's image and likeness, we were made for the intent, the purpose, to have God come into us as our real content. Do you think it would be proper for this Coke bottle to have anything else in it? I think if I drained the Coke and if I put something else in it, you would look at it and you would know something's not quite right. If I filled it with sand, if I filled it even with water, if I filled it with money, still you would look at it and say, that was made to contain Coca-Cola. Well, sixth graders, we need to know why we were made. We were made in a special way, in a specific way by God, so that we could receive Him. You know, this is a Coca-Cola bottle. Right now, I'm looking at a lot of God bottles. We are a God bottle. We are a God container made to contain God. So let's read point B together. We were made to take God in, to be our life, by eating Him as the tree of life. Okay, I'll read to you Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After God made man in His image and likeness, God put man in a garden, caused all kinds of trees to grow in that garden, but in the center of the garden, there were two trees. One tree was called the tree of life. The other tree was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God's intention was that man would choose to receive the tree of life, to eat of the tree of life. And the tree of life represented God, who wanted to come into man to be man's life, to live within man. See? If there's an apple tree and you want to get the apple tree into you, what do? You pick the apple and eat the apple and it gets into you. Well, this is a picture. God put us, we'll put Adam there and Eve in that garden with the two trees, showing them. He wanted them to choose. Even though we were created to contain Him, He did not put His life into us, but rather He wanted us to choose. God wants you to choose. To choose to receive Him. I know some of you sitting there may be surprised to hear this. You've grown up in a Christian home. You've grown up going to meetings of the church since you were a baby. Maybe you thought that since you were a baby, born into a home with Christian parents and always going to the church meetings on the Lord's Day, maybe you always thought you had God's life in you. But no, God wants us to choose. He wants you to choose. No one is born with God's life in them. You have to receive God's life. You have to choose to receive God's life. Your parents may have chosen that they could only choose for themselves. You have to choose to receive God into you. Okay, this is a good story, right? Do you like this story? This is a wonderful story. But we have only covered the first two chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2. There's a Genesis 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, God's enemy, Satan, he comes in to spoil, to corrupt what God wants in man. This is what Satan does. Satan is God's enemy, and all he wants to do is to stop God getting what he wants in you and me. So let's read Roman numeral 2 together. We became fallen and hid ourselves from God. Okay, I'm going to read to you A. Satan came to lie to us, telling us that we didn't need God. This is in Genesis 3, 4 to 6. And the serpent, who represents Satan, said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like God, knowing good and evil." See, the serpent had come to Eve, and had asked Eve whether she would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Eve told him, "No, God told us not to eat of that tree." And the serpent, who Satan, said to her, and she said, "Because God said, in the day that we eat of that tree, we will surely die." And then Satan's response was, "No, you shall not surely die." Was that the truth? That was a lie. This is what Satan does. He comes to lie to us, to turn us from following God, to turn us away from receiving God. He is a liar. So he told her, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make oneself wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. So let's read B together. We disobeyed God and ate Satan's substitute, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there in the garden, God had made man. Who did he make man for? Himself. And what did God want man to receive? Him, himself as life. But before man received God as life, who came? Satan came to deceive man, to lie to man, to get man to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two things happened. When man partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the first thing, man disobeyed God. The second thing, which is even more damaging than disobeying God, is man took in another element, something of Satan called sin. So instead of God coming into man, instead of God's life coming into man, now sin is in man. What is sin? It's that thing in you that makes you do the things that you know you shouldn't do. That's sin. And it's in all of us. We were born with it. We all have sin. Well, what was Adam and Eve's reaction after they had disobeyed God and after they had received sin into them? I'll read C to you. When God came, we were afraid and hid from him. This is from Genesis 3, 8 and 10. In the cool of the evening, I'll read it to you. And they heard the sound of Jehovah God walking about in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God among the trees of the garden. And Jehovah God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, this is Adam, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I am naked, so I hid myself." When man realized he had disobeyed God and that he now had sin in him, man was afraid of God. Until that time, God and man talked together. But then, when Adam heard God coming, he ran to hide. And God cried out, "Where are you?" Does God want us to hide from him? No. But we have to understand, because we have sin in us, it makes us hide from God. I'll give you some examples. I'll give you some stories. Now, when I tell stories about myself, you have to promise me you won't go and tell other people, okay? But there are different ways to hide. When you know you've done something wrong, there's different ways to hide. One way is to run. You ever done something wrong? And then mom and dad is coming, or a teacher is coming, or someone of authority is coming, and something in you just says, "Run!" One day, when I was about your age, at the dinner table, we had just finished our meal. I was sitting next to my father. He looked at his plate. He had a piece of bread that he had buttered, and he made a statement, "I'm full. I don't know what to do with this piece of bread." I, thinking it would be hilarious, said to him, "Dad, I know what to do with that piece of bread." He said, "What?" I said, "Here." And I took the bread and I pushed it into his face. The bread stuck there for a moment and then it fell off his face. I looked around the table. My mother was shocked. My sisters were shocked. And one look at my father's face, and I knew I was in trouble. I leapt up from the table and took off out the back door, down the driveway. My dad chased me. My mom chased my dad. As I got to the end of the driveway, the word came, "If you leave the property, you'll be in worse trouble." Uh-oh. It's clear I'm in trouble, but if I leave the property, I'm in worse trouble. So I evaded my dad because I knew our property. I played. I climbed around some bushes. I ran into the backyard. My dad kept chasing me. Eventually, I realized I could not run. I could not run. So I had to stop and I had to receive a lesson in how to honor my father. Okay, so that's one way we can hide. We can run. Okay, another way we can hide something is we lie. How many of you, when you've been asked, "Did you do that?" No. One day I was playing mini golf with some friends, and we thought it would be great fun to hit the ball as hard as we could and watch it ricochet off the whatever hole we were playing. And when it was my turn, I hit that ball as hard as I could. But it did not ricochet. It flew in the air across to some people playing on the other side of the course and hit a lady in the leg. And she screamed. And everybody stopped playing mini golf. And I don't know if it was her husband or the guy that was with her. He looked huge. He asked her, what happened? She said, a ball hit me. He found the ball, and then he proceeded to go from hole to hole to find out who hit the ball. Then he came to our hole, standing there. I was scared. I was not much older than you, and he looked like a giant. And he was mad. And he said, did any of you hit this ball? And I go, no. I think someone over there. I was running by a lie, hiding by a lie. I was trying to hide. Of course, I'm the only one without a ball. So he went over to the other hole and asked them. And they said, no, it's not able. Eventually he came back. He worked out who it was. And he looked at me. He said, did you hit this ball? What could I do? I had to tell him the truth. Yes, I hit the ball. Well, he didn't hit me. All he wanted me to do was go to the lady and to apologize for hitting her. Well, sometimes we hide by lying, by saying we didn't do it. Another way we can hide is we could try to cover something up. You ever done something wrong and you've tried to cover it, hoping that no one would find it, that no one would see it? When I was about 10 years old, 10 or 11 years old, I got my first set of hunting knives. These aren't pocket knives. These are the real thing. These are big blades. I was so excited to have these hunting knives. And I was in my room playing with my blades, and I just had to cut something. And I thought, I'll just pretend to cut my duvet. Just pretend. I won't cut it. I'll just pretend. And so I pretended to cut my duvet. And when I looked, the duvet was cut. And the stuffing inside started to come out. I couldn't believe it. A comforter. A bedspread, the thing on top of your bed, right? Where I grew up, we called it a duvet, a comforter. But the point is, there was a cut with the stuffing coming out. I also knew then that I was in trouble. First, I tried to fold my comforter. Is that what you call it? Right? I folded it up and I put it there. I thought, there we go. You can't see it anymore. But deep down I knew, but Mom will come in one day to wash it and then she'll see it. See, when we do something wrong, sometimes we try to hide it by covering it. But what we have to realize, when it comes to our sin before God, there is no way that we can hide. You can't hide by lying to God. You can't hide by running from God. And you can't hide by trying to cover it up, thinking that God won't see it. There is no way for us to hide from God. So let's read Roman numeral 3 together. Okay? But no one can hide from God. Let's read that again. But no one can hide from God. Good. Let's read 8 together. Every covered thing will be revealed. B. Every hidden thing will be known. C. God knows all our foolishness and our sins. Sixth graders, God knows. God knows. God knows. Every covered thing. Every hidden thing. I'd like us to read Luke 12, 2 and 3. Let's read this together. But there is nothing covered up which will not be revealed, and hidden which will not be known. Therefore, what you have said, and what you have spoken in the ear, in the private rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetop. How about this verse? This verse says, there is nothing covered up which will not be revealed, and hidden which will not be known. Even what you said in the darkness will be heard in the light. Even what you said, or what was spoken in the air in the private rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetop. Those things you said that you thought no one was listening, that you thought your mom couldn't hear you or your dad couldn't hear you as you said something under your breath, or you said something in your room when you'd been sent there as a discipline for something you had done. All those things God has seen. All those things God has heard. There's a brother told me a story that one time when he was young, his brother did something, his little brother. How many of you have a little brother or sister? Okay, I think you will know when I tell you this. But one day, his little brother did something to annoy him and made him so angry. So he went into his room, and he took a piece of paper and he wrote on that piece of paper every mean thing he could think of about his brother. And he used every bad word that he knew. He was so angry. And then, when he was done, he folded it up. And he hid it in his room. He thought nobody would know. Nobody would ever see. He went to school. During the day, his mom had to go into his room. She was cleaning something up in the room. And out fell the piece of paper. And she read everything. When he came home from school, his mom was waiting. And she asked him, did you write this? And he had to confess that he wrote those things. Well, you could also say that he said those things. Sixth graders, there's nothing that's hidden from God. There's nothing that you've said or done that is covered that God won't see. Let's read another verse together. I like to read a verse. It's not on your sheet, but I like to read it to you. It's from Amos. This is in the Old Testament. Chapter 9, verse 1b to 3. This is a good verse to show there's nowhere that anyone can run and hide from God. One day, God will come, and he will come to judge those who are sinful. One day, God will come to judge all the sinful men. And in that day, when God comes to judge, people will try to hide. And in Amos, there is a good verse, I'll read it to you, showing that when God's judgment comes, there is nowhere to hide. Any one of them who flees will not flee away. And any one of them who escapes will not slip away. Though they dig into Sheol, that means they try to go to the lowest part, from there my hand will take them. And though they go up into heaven, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide at the top of Carmel, from there I will seek them and take them. And though they hide themselves from my sight on the floor of the sea, there I will command the serpent, and it will bite them. This shows there's nowhere you can go to hide from God. You can't get a job with NASA and build the next generation of the space shuttle and take off into the heavens, into space, because God can just grab you and bring you back. There's nowhere to hide. Okay, I'd like us to read the next verse. Psalm 69:5. Oh God, you know my foolishness, and my sins
are not hidden from you.
Okay, I'd like the brothers to read that, please, strongly. Oh God, you know my foolishness,
and my sins are not hidden from you.
Okay, sisters. Good. I have one more story. This story you may have a little difficulty understanding. But when I was your age, the milk used to be delivered to our house in glass bottles. And not only was the milk delivered, but if you wanted, the baker would deliver in the morning a freshly baked loaf of bread. And then this may be difficult for you to understand, but at that time, the loaf of bread was not sliced. It was a whole loaf of bread. And there is nothing better than freshly baked bread. Now, my parents didn't get that bread delivered to our house, but there was an elderly lady across the street who every day would have that fresh loaf of bread delivered to her house. And one day, the next door neighbor and I, we decided that we would have a great plan on how to eat that loaf of bread and not get caught. So we snuck across the street, took out that loaf of bread, and we carefully peeled off the end crust. And then we just pulled out the soft inside of the loaf of bread and we ate it. And we believed no one saw us. And that we were not going to get caught, because when we were done, we put the end piece back on to the loaf of bread, put it back in the brown bag, and put it back in the mailbox, the letterbox. And then we snuck home, thinking nobody would know. Now, what we didn't know is that that elderly neighbor had seen us and had called our mothers, who were standing in the living room watching us through the window. Now, do we sound a little foolish? We thought we were so clever. Actually, we were quite foolish. So, of course, when we came home, they asked, what were you doing? Nothing? Were you at Mrs. So-and-so's house? No. Well, Psalm 69:5. Oh God, you know my foolishness, and my sins of guilt are not hidden from you. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Okay. So now we realize that even though we were created for God, we have this problem in us called sin. Sin causes us to want to hide from God. But can we hide from God? No. So let's go on to Roman numeral 4. God is coming to seek each one of us this weekend, and He wants us to seek Him. Dear sixth graders, we cannot hide from God. So this weekend, let's not hide. Let's not hide from Him. I like to tell you, this weekend, the Lord is coming to seek you. And He wants you not to hide, but to seek Him. So A, don't hide like Adam and Eve when God calls you. B, we have to be like the psalmist who is seeking God. I'd like to read to you sets of verses from Luke, in Luke 19:10. In fact, let's read that together, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Son of Man, that is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has come to seek and to save. Is He coming to seek and to judge? No. One day He will. One day He will come to judge. But that is not today. Today, the Lord is coming to seek us, to save us. He is coming to seek you this weekend, to save you, from your sins. In Luke 15, I'll read it to you, 4 and 5. Which man of you who has 100 sheep and has lost one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. The Lord is the shepherd. You are that one lost sheep. And the Lord loves you, and He's coming to find you. Okay, point B said we have to be like the psalmist. That psalmist, we can see in Psalm 27a, said, when you say, seek my face, to you my heart says, your face, O Jehovah, will I seek. Oh, I love this. This should be the pattern for all of us this weekend. What is God saying to us? Seek my face. And what should our heart say back to God? Your face, O Jehovah, will I seek. Okay, I'll be Jehovah. I will say, seek my face. Okay, you answer, your face, O Jehovah, will I seek. Okay, you ready? Seek my face. Okay, when Jehovah says, seek my face, what would you respond?
Your face, O Jehovah, will I seek.
Okay, right now, close your eyes and you pray. This weekend, Lord, I seek your face. Ready? This weekend, Lord, I seek your face. Will you pray this prayer tonight before you go to bed? Pray, Lord, this weekend, I will seek your face. Okay, now let's read Roman numeral 5 together. We seek and find the Lord by calling on Him while He is here. Okay, and let's read Isaiah 55, 6. That was okay. But I think you need to read that verse a little bit stronger, okay? Ready? Seek Jehovah while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. So, the Lord seeks us. We seek the Lord. But what is a practical way to seek the Lord? What is a practical way for us to find the Lord? It's right here in Isaiah 55, 6. Seek Jehovah while He may be found. I'd like to tell you that the Lord can still be found. This weekend, you can find Him. Call upon Him while He is near. Call upon Him. A practical way for us to seek the Lord, to find the Lord, is to call upon Him. An easy way to call on the Lord is just to say, "Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus." Very good. So I'd like to end with a couple of prayers for us to pray together. Okay? The first one is, "Oh Lord Jesus, I seek You this weekend. Oh Lord Jesus, I seek You this weekend. Oh Lord Jesus, thank You that You are seeking me. Oh Lord Jesus, let me find You this weekend. Oh Lord Jesus, thank You that You can be found. Very good. Well, we need to end here. I have one little thing I want to encourage you about before we have some announcements, and also the camp staff need to give us a presentation on what we can and cannot do here at the camp. I'd like to just say one thing to you. When Satan came to Adam and Eve, he caused them to doubt God's word. We should not doubt God's word. Rather, we should store up God's word in our heart. And so this weekend, to help us store up God's word in our heart, we have verses for you to memorize. You'll notice in your book that every verse that we cover is there for you to memorize. And once you memorize it and you tell it to the serving one, they can check it off. They can initial it for you. And just so you know, we keep count. Okay? At the end of the conference, we're going to see, how many verses did we all memorize together? And we check to see how many the sisters memorized and how many the brothers memorized. Okay? So, brothers, who's going to memorize the most verses this weekend? Well, let me ask the sisters. Sisters, who's going to memorize the most verses this weekend? Well, I hope this weekend you all memorize, okay? Even tonight, you can begin when you go back to your cabin. Okay, who's going to do the announcements?